Hallelujah. Minister, Lord, by your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So grateful for the Spirit of the Lord in the house. He's always to be found where Jesus is glorified. Hallelujah. Now we turn our hearts to the Word where God would enunciate all that He's been doing in the service. If you turn to Mark chapter 10 this morning. Amen. Brother Cruz, won't you come help us in the Amen corner this morning? Be sure and get a bulletin. Main thing this week, besides our usual services, is the winter warm-up. And though it's the youth are targeted, that's for all of our church. Time of refreshing in the winter. Amen. This may be almost the end of our series on the Jesus response. I just want to say I'm glad He does respond. Amen. He's yet responding. Would you stand? We'll read two verses now. We'll look at the remainder verses of the story as we get into the message this morning. And many charged him, Bartimaeus, that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." The Jesus response this morning is in that last verse. Jesus stood still. I want to tell you what his response is. Jesus, stand still. That's not an indication he's doing nothing. That's an indication he's about to do something. Jesus, stand still. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. In our local news this week, it was a sad story, but a woman stopped to feed a stray dog on Germantown Pike. How many already knows the story I'm referencing? And as she began to feed the stray dog, she found a frozen corpse in the ditch on the side of the road. They later discovered that that was Pamela Price, age 60, and the authorities surmised that she had been crossing the road, had been hit by a vehicle, injured, and thrown into the ditch. Her daughter, thinking that perhaps her mother didn't immediately die, her daughter said this, "Maybe she cried for help and no one came. Maybe she cried for help and no one came." You know, that's a heart-tearing thought, to think somebody could be in that much hurt and pain and be crying out, and either no one heard, or worse, somebody heard and turned a deaf ear and ignored the cries. With that in your thinking, I want you to try to surmise for a moment that we humans lived in a universe without God. Coming to the place as we do of horrible hurt, drastic need, problems beyond our resources and ability, and there be no God to cry out to. What if there was even a worse scenario? That there was a God, and we cried out to Him, but got no response. He turned a deaf ear. I'm glad this story's in the Bible, because you know what it tells me? It tells me, number one, there is a God who hears our cry. And it tells me, number two, that God responds. I think we ought to leave here with a confidence in our hearts that God is both attentive to and responsive to our cries. The psalmist discovered that. this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his fears. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad there's a God that hears? Let's look at the human need. Verse 46, they came to Jericho. And as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Jericho was an oasis in the desert. The year-long temperature of Jericho is an average of 74 degrees. Because of the climate, it was the winter resort of the kings, King Herod and all the rich. It was a resort town. It was a town of the rich like Zacchaeus. But here in the midst of these folks that had so much money, so much leisure, a winter resort, there's a man that's of the lowest of lowest. He doesn't have money. He's a beggar. Things aren't going well for him. He's blind, right in the midst of a resort town. Blind Bartimaeus, literally his very name, Bar means son, and Timaeus, as it's translated, Timaeus means of the unclean. Talk about the lowest rung of the lowest rung of society. Every time somebody said his name, they said, "You're the son of the unclean." What an awful situation. And I painted that picture. It's there, but to show you how helpless that he is, he's blind. How hopeless that he is. He has no resources. He's a beggar. But even though he is helpless and hopeless and has no reason to believe a king would pay any attention to him, one is about to. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody's glad for the Son of God. Amen. You say, my situation's not that bad. Maybe not physically nor financially. But if you were honest, we often find ourselves in just such a situation. Without resources, without answers, without solutions, without hope. We're right there with blind Bartimaeus. He's there sitting at the curbside with his cup, a begging. But the truth is, we've sat beside him many a time. Verse 47. Oh, aren't you glad the story didn't end with just painting the description of the problem? Amen. But in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Here's the picture. Jesus has come to town with his disciples, and as he approaches town, the crowd begins to gather. There's a crowd behind Jesus. There's a crowd around Jesus. There's a crowd gathered in front of Jesus, and he's walking down the street. You know, here's the blind man. Because he's blind, his hearing is compensated. His hearing is keen. And even though Jesus has just entered town, the blind man picks that up. He knows the crowd is gathered. He can hear the excitement in the crowd. He can tell this is different than another day. And I don't know if he asked somebody that was walking by. I don't know if he just heard enough with this keen hearing. But at some point, he realized what had taken place, what was going on. Jesus had come to town. Jesus is walking down the road. Jesus is on path to pass him. Amen. And when he got that news, when he understood that it was Jesus, he began to cry out. Amen. I want you to notice that. He began to cry out when he heard that it was Jesus. Hallelujah. We who know Jesus, we who have Jesus in our midst and in our hearts, if we don't make some noise about him, how are folks going to hear? I said, how are folks going to hear? I don't think anything has changed. Just like the only thing blind Bartimaeus needed was to hear that Jesus had come to town. The prophet had come to town. The miracle worker had come to town. The one that cast out demons had come to town. The one who made the lame walk. Just like when he heard that, something stirred in his heart, and in faith. He began to cry out. I believe there's still folks in our time, in our age, if they could just hear about this Jesus. I said, I believe if they could hear, something would start to stir. They'd start crying out. You that's been in the special meetings of this beginning of this year, you'll know what I'm talking about. But tell the story. I said, tell the story. Tell this. How are they going to be saved unless they hear? I'm telling you, tell the story. Amen. Make some noise about Jesus. I'm not talking about, I know they say that to a crowd today, make some noise about Jesus for a little fanfare and a little applause from my audience. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, look what the Lord hath done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Tell the story. Tell what the Lord has done. Tell them that Jesus has come. Hallelujah. When he heard that, he began to cry out. Amen. He's blind, but hearing is the last to go. Amen. This world is blind. Make no mistake. The God of this world hath blinded their hearts, blinded their minds, lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel. But I want to tell you, they may be blind, Brother Richie, but they're not deaf. The deaf is the last to go. The hearing's the last to go. Oh, somebody's going to hear. Amen. It's a developing scene. Jesus has come to town. He's approaching blind Bartimaeus. But as he sits on the curb, not only has Jesus approached, but Jesus is now walking by him. And now Jesus has passed blind Bartimaeus. And now Jesus is headed out the other end of town. In other words, this is my opportunity and it's passing, but I will not let it pass. Jesus has come. Jesus has passed me. Jesus is leaving, but I'm not going to just let him leave. My need's too desperate. My problem's too real. He's a leaving town. I've got to stop him. I've got to get his attention. Hallelujah. And he began to cry out, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Amen. He's filled with the urgency that if Jesus walks out of town without his getting help, he's not going to have help. If Jesus gets out of town without his receiving his sight, he's not going to get his sight. Oh, I think it's time Bartimaeus' urgency gets a hold of the hearts of people. We need him. If we don't get help from him, we're not going to have help. He began to cry out. He cried out, "Son of David." Now, I'm going to pause to note that when he said "Son of David," he wasn't just talking genealogy. He wasn't just saying, "I recognize that you're a descendant of King David." That's a nice fact to know, but that's not what he was saying. Son of David was the designated title of the Messiah, the anointed one, the King of Kings. Oh, so when he said, "Thou son of David," he was acknowledging that Jesus was the almighty King, the Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You begin to study this book, you know what you're going to find? No prophet in the Old Testament ever open blinded eyes. You read the New Testament, no disciple. I mean, there was Ananias with Saul who became Paul. That was a temporary thing. That was just scales on the eye. But no disciple in the New Testament ever opened blinded eyes. But did you know what the most recorded, as far as numerical occurrences, the most recorded miracle of Jesus, you know what it is? Opening blinded eyes. Why? Because Isaiah 800 years previously said the Messiah is coming, and the indication he is the Messiah, one of the signs you're going to know that he's the Messiah, is that he's going to open the blinded eye. Oh, hallelujah. And so when Bartimaeus said, "Thou son of David," he was saying, "You're the one. You're the Messiah. You're the blind eye opener." I want to tell you something. He's still opening blinded eyes. I said, he's still open and blind. And I, physically, yes, but he's open them spiritually. I was blind in sin. It was dark and it was black. But Jesus opened the eyes of my spirit. Jesus, I'm telling you, he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He can open your blinded eyes. Hallelujah. But there's one more thing in saying, thou Son of David. If he's calling Jesus the King, that means he, Bartimaeus, is the King's subject. In other words, King, I'm one of yours. I'm your subject. I'm beseeching you as a poor subject to his benevolent King. I want to tell you, don't forget, when you're crying out to God, you're crying out to the King as a child of the King. Oh, we got any children of the King here? We got any of the subjects of the King Jesus? When you call out to him, you're calling out to your King. Amen. What is the usual probable response? Verse 48, and many charged him. Even they got rough with him with their words, that he should hold his peace. That's kind for saying that he should shut up. But he cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Even the crowd, and many believe the disciples would shut him up. The disciples just said, don't bring the children to Jesus. And now they're telling blind Bartimaeus, even you're being an interruption. You're being a nuisance. You're being a bother. Why don't you just be quiet? Now I want to tell you, this story would have turned out completely different if Bartimaeus had have listened to the crowd, if he had listened to those that told him to be quiet, and he had grown silent. You see, people were Bartimaeus' biggest hindrance that day. I said people were his biggest hindrance. They're the ones that tried to quiet him down. Nothing has changed from his time to our time. You hear me? Even people are still our biggest hindrance. That's why people don't receive what they need to receive from the Lord. They let people hinder them. I want you to ask an honest question this morning. How often has it been that God was trying to do something for you in the house of God, and you allowed people to hinder you from receiving that? I'll tell you, it may be that way, but it should be each of our greatest desire never to be in the group of people that's doing the hindering. Woe unto us, or to them that told Bartimaeus to be quiet. They're in the wrong crowd. We may be hindered by people, but we don't have to be the people that's hindering. Hallelujah. I just feel a little pastoral streak go through me. Amen. We got lost folks in the house. May we never be the ones sitting in front of them, talking to our neighbor. Amen. Playing games on our device and keeps them from hearing the word of God. May we not be in that crowd. Amen. Somebody needs help, but we don't have time to pray. Amen. Spirit of the Lord's trying to move, and we're sitting on our hands as the people of God. I'm telling you, we may be offended and we may be hindered, but may we never be in the group that says, quit crying, shut up. May we be in the group that says, go ahead, Bartimaeus. Shout a little louder, Bartimaeus. We're right here. We'll help you, Bartimaeus. Hey, thou Son of David. Come on, everybody. Thou Son of David, have mercy on him. Don't let people be the hindrance. Amen. Don't let people next to you in the pew keep you from coming when God is calling. I've seen it even recently. I've seen a young person moved upon by the Spirit of the Lord in the altar call and wanting to come. But they kept looking around to see if any of the other young people were coming. If you see that, don't hinder that. Say, I'll go with you. I'll walk there with you. Oh, don't let people hinder you receiving from the Lord. Don't let people hinder you. You've come down to pray, but you know six or seven didn't. They just sat right there. Don't let that hinder you. Come on and pray. You came down to pray, and somebody's telling a joke in the foyer, and you can hear them laughing. Don't let that hinder you. Just keep on crying. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just talking about, don't let people be the hindrance. Amen. You begin to feel the presence of God, and you look across the auditorium, and there's somebody that's got your goat. You should have sold it. Amen. Somebody's got your goat. And all of a sudden the worship's gone. You're upset. Amen. Amen. Don't let people hinder you. Amen. If Bartimaeus had let people hinder him, he would have died blind. But something in him says, you're telling me to be quiet? That only means one thing to me. I'm going to cry louder. I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to worship more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then there's the Jesus response. Oh, I marvel at this. And Jesus stood still. Jesus heard those cries and he stopped dead in his tracks. Won't you, Brother Brian, be Bartimaeus just for a moment? Jesus come to town. Bartimaeus is listening. Jesus with the crowd is walking by. Bartimaeus said, my opportunity is going to go. And he begins to cry out, go ahead, thou son of David. At that, Jesus, Jesus stopped. I said, Jesus, stop. You got to remember something. What did he stop at? Did he stop at the cries of the nobleman? No. Did he stop at the cries of the government official? No. Did he stop at the cries of the rich man? No. He probably would have. But who did he stop at? He stopped at the cries of a beggar, the son of the unclean, the blind, the refuge of society. I'm telling you, we ought to shout because he is no respecter of persons. Oh, he stopped. I know one account says there's two blind men, but there's a crowd there. There's a lot of people vying for his attention, but he stops for the one or the two. He stops. Amen. Oh, I'm glad he does that. I said, I'm glad he does that. Amen. He'll have the whole sermon be for just one person if that's what it takes. He'll orchestrate a service just for one person to get help if that's what it takes. Oh, I don't know how he does it. All I know is he didn't keep on walking. He didn't turn a deaf ear. He stopped right there in the road. Not because he's not going to do anything, but he's about to do something. Jesus stood still. I got to thinking of that. Jesus is talking. He often did that. He's a teaching. He's a talking. He's a walking. Did you know he was headed somewhere? He was headed to his triumphant entry of Jerusalem. That's an important event. He's a talking, he's a walking, he's got important business. But when he hears the cry, he stands still. It stops him in his tracks. I can't hardly get over that. I'm not getting it across, but I can't get a hold of that. You see, you got to remember something. Jesus is human, yes, but he was God. I said he was God. Could I tell you, blind Bartimaeus stopped God in his tracks. Here is God. He's spinning the planets on their axes. Here's God. He's fueling our sun and trillions of stars. Here's God. He's moving the electrons in their orbits around that nucleus of uncountable atoms. Here's God. He's opening up the blossoms of every tree. Here's God. He's helping every cow to calf. Here's God. He's forming countless humans in their mother's womb. Here's God running the universe. Here's God busy. Here's God speaking. Here's God walking. But when blind Bartimaeus said, have mercy, God stopped, as it were, everything to turn his attention to the one in need. And you think your need's going unnoticed. Oh, hallelujah. I want to just stop and praise him. Could we do it? Could we just praise him? I'm going to ask you something as you're praising. Do you remember the day when God stopped for you? Let me see you wave your hand. Do you remember the day when God stopped for you? Oh, come on, let's worship the Son of God. Hallelujah. 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 I know I've got to move on. No, I don't. Jesus stopped, I can too. I know you can say that's kind of a silly comparison. But I got to thinking, Sister Karen, of the Old Testament, something, a story we marvel at. Remember when Joshua and the Israelites were in that battle? And they had more battle left than they had daylight. That mighty general, Joshua, he looked at that bright orb, the thing we call the sun. And Joshua said, stop. And the S-U-N stopped. What a story. Wonder of wonders. But blind Bartimaeus is not a mighty general. He's a beggar. And he did something even greater. He said, cried out, and the S-O-N stopped. The S-U-N stopped to give victory to Israel. The S-O-N stopped to give victory to blind Bartimaeus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Jesus response? We used to hunt, and if an animal didn't see you, rabbit or deer, they could be running 90 miles an hour. Well, almost, figuratively speaking. But we learned you could whistle. Right, Jim? You could whistle. They'd throw on the brakes right there. And then you had them. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you cry out, that's the way it is with the Lord. He hears that, and he stops to help. I said, he stops to help. What stops Jesus? I've seen light. I've seen light bumper stickers. This vehicle stops for garage sales. What stops Jesus? I said, what stops Jesus? I'm convinced he doesn't stop to join theological debates. I think he never stopped to hear the gossip as he walked through Jericho. Wait a minute, what'd you say? Go ahead, tell me. He never stopped for the gossip. He never stopped for a hypocritical show of spirituality. The Pharisees standing there and say, I thank my God, I fast and I pray. He never stopped for that mess. He never stopped for self-righteousness. He never stopped for a display of talent. Can't I sing good? Don't I preach good? He never stopped for a show of talent on that street. He never stopped for the apathetic. He never stopped for the complacent. He never stopped for the bored. I've heard people say that I'm bored with church. Well, listen, I'll tell you something. You may be, but he's never stopped for the bored. Amen. He's never stopped for the critical and the fault-finding. He's never stopped for those who just want to make fun and be uncaring and uninterested. That's not what he stops for. Let me make it simple. He stopped for the honest, sincere cry. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Some of you have grown quiet in your cries. I'm telling you, it's time to cry again, because you can know he'll stop for the honest, sincere cry. Amen. Jesus will stop for that. Oh, I want you to notice the second thing he did. His response was not that he just stood still, but he said, call him. They went to the man. Now, listen, it's the ones that were saying, be quiet, shut up. Now they're saying their tune has changed. They look at him and said, be of good cheer. He calleth for thee. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's a wonderful thing. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe for every person, every boy, every girl, every man, every, I believe there's a time in their life that just like for Bartimaeus, I believe that Jesus calls for them. I said, he may be calling for you this morning. But I believe there's a time in everybody's life where Jesus calls for them. I'm telling you, when he calls, it's not, you go ahead and sit there for a minute, but it's not time to sit there. When he calls, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Oh, he called for him. I think it's a wonderful thing that he used the people that were hindering the man. Tell him to shut. He used those very people to say, rise, he calleth for thee. You're blind, just stay right there for a moment. Oh, that might have been a humbling situation. Hallelujah. But it's also a lesson. He calls, but God still uses people to bring people to Jesus Christ. Yes. He could have turned around and walked back to the man. He stopped. He could have turned and walked back to the man, but he didn't. He used people to bring people to Jesus. Just a few steps. I got to get more in the story. Nothing's changed. He's calling for every man. He's calling for every woman. But make no mistake, he still uses people to bring people to Jesus. How many wants to be one of those people? Oh, let me see your hand. I want to be at school, at work, in the neighborhood. I want to be a person that brings folks to Christ. Jesus calls for you. Will you respond? Now here it is, verse 50. Amen. Ready for this, Brother Brian? Make sure, got your shirt tail in? Okay. Okay. I'm serious. Because the first thing he did, casting away his garment. Well, no. Thank you for being helpful, but no. He cast away his garment. I want to do that again. You're not getting this. Are you getting it yet? Go ahead and do it again. Maybe behind you. Hallelujah. You get it? Blind men don't cast things away. They always carefully, because they're blind, they lay them in a place where they're sure to find them. He cast that away, Brother Greg, because that was faith. He said, I'm blind right now, but when I come back to get my suit jacket, I won't have to know where I cast it because I'll be able to see. I said, that's faith. He cast it. I'll tell you something else. It's not only faith. It's not only faith. Why do you think he cast that away? Because that was a kind of a big old robe. And he's trying to get up and get to Jesus. And that thing's getting in his way. He also cast it. Why? Because nothing was going to impede him. Go ahead. Nothing's going to stay. If Jesus has called, nothing's going to keep me from going to him. Amen. That thing's getting in my way. And so I'm going to cast it away. Oh, I'm telling you, if you really want help, you'll start casting things away. This is keeping me from getting to Jesus. And I'm not going to let anything hinder me from getting to him. I need my sight. I need my help. I need my deliverance. I need my salvation. And if I got to cast it away, I'll tell you, it's time to get rid of what's impeding you. I still believe that. I've seen folks praying for salvation in the altar, brother. And it wasn't long they went out and got their drugs and got their cigarettes and got their bad music and brought it in and put it on the altar. You can laugh at that if you want to. I'll tell you what I saw a blind Bartimaeus who just heard the call of the master, and they said, this thing's getting in my way. I'm going to get rid of it so I can get to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you heard his call? If you've really heard his call, if you really want to answer, you'll throw that thing. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about sight. I'm talking about things that are important. I refuse to let things impede me. And then verse 51, go ahead, and you can come to me right there. It's right there. I'm on the road, but I need to read the verse. Thank you, brother. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus knew what the man needed done. Any seeing person around there could see what the man needed done. Why did Jesus ask him what he wanted done? Jesus wanted the blind man to put it in his words and voice his faith. See, if the blind man says, I want my sight, he is voicing the faith that Jesus is able to give him his sight. Brother Brian, you can answer that. What will you have that I do unto you?
I'm blind. I want my sight back.
Yeah. Not flowery prayers. Not theologically intricate prayers. Just a confession of the need. Do you realize that's all the Lord's waiting for from us? Is just an open, candid confession of our need. Lord, I'm fearful. Lord, I've lost my assurance. I need assurance. Lord, I'm confused. Lord, I'm being ensnared by the world. Lord, I'm being tempted. Lord, I've got nerve problems. Amen. He's just waiting for a confession of the need. Amen. That is a confession of the faith. I want to ask one question. Will we ask Jesus for what we truly need this morning? Will you ask Jesus for what you truly need this morning? Last of all, the result of Jesus' response. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. No, I think he was more like Brian when he received his sight. I don't think he said, I can see. I believe he got excited. And the first thing he saw was the one to whom he called. He saw the Son of David, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the face of God. Faith, Jesus said, has made you whole. How did faith make him whole? How did he exercise his faith? He expressed his faith in persistently crying out to help for help from Jesus, even when he was hindered. Amen. Stay right there for a moment. Even when he was hindered, he kept crying out. Hallelujah. Don't listen to that smart crowd that'll tell you you don't have any faith if you ask more than once. They're so far off the wall. Amen. They're so far out. They don't know their scripture. Amen. They'll look at you and say, if you ask more than once, you don't have faith. I'm telling you, the faith of the blind man was expressed, and he kept crying out. He kept asking, even when he was hindered. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way. Jesus said, now you can see. You can go where you want to. Now I want you to know something. Amen. He could have went back to get his coat. Amen. You're not blind now. I'm just trying to help. He could have went to see his family. He could have went to the market. He could have went to see his friends. He could have went fishing somewhere. But when Jesus gave him the command and the permission, amen. Oh, this is shouting ground. Even this. He said, go thy way. Up to that point, the blind man couldn't go where he wanted to go. He had to go his known path. He had to go where somebody would lead him. I believe he got excited just about that. Jesus said, you can see now. You can go anywhere you want to. And he could have. But Jesus turned to walk. I said, he can go anywhere he wants to. I said, he can go where he wants to. But the scripture said, and he followed Jesus. I tell you, that's how you can tell a person has received their spiritual sight. Oh, you're free. You can go anywhere you want to. You'll follow Jesus. I want to tell you, that's the only way you can stay close to Jesus. It's by following him. Oh, come on, let's worship him. I said, he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. Hallelujah. With gratitude, with loyalty, with humility, with worship, with praise. He followed Jesus. Thank you, Brother Brian. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come, music? Only the truly appreciative of what Jesus has done will follow him. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for scriptural examples. I won't go into details. I've told it in different portions through the years. But before coming here, I was at one of my lowest possible places in all of my life as a place of darkness. I wasn't seeing, I wasn't sinning or anything like that. But I remember one day it got so bad I went into the bedroom and locked the door, and I didn't plan to, but I began to walk the floor, and the only thing I kept saying was, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. It wasn't a cognitive thought to pick that prayer, but I'm so glad I had read the story. of blind Bartimaeus and knew what happened when he called on Jesus. I begin to walk that floor. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. It was an awful time. But I'm telling you, I can tell you the night not long after that, in the middle of the night, when he stood still. I've told you the story. There was no radio on, no record player on, amen, no cassette player on, nothing. But in the middle of the night, Jesus stood still, listened, and began to conduct a heavenly choir. And I heard him sing, "The love of God, so rich and full, so measureless and strong, it shall..." Oh, they sang it over. I was not asleep. They were singing it over and over. The love of God, the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Could I tell you this morning, Jesus is in this place. He walks in the midst of the candlesticks. He's walking down the aisles, in and out of the pews. I've only got one question. Do we have any blind Bartimaeuses that's going to be shouting out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou Son..." I'll tell you what's going to happen. Amen. You begin to cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." If he hears it right here, he's going to stop right here. If he hears it right here, he's going to stop right here. If he hears it over here, he'll stop. I'm telling you, Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Oh, hallelujah. He's just waiting for the cry. I said, he's just waiting for the cry. I said, he's just waiting for the cry. Oh, hallelujah. Would you stand all over this building? Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Brother Brian, will you help me one more time? I want you to sit right here. I just want you to begin to cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy."
Jesus, thou Son of David.
Now, you don't have to sit, but I wonder who's going to join Bartimaeus. Who's going to join Bartimaeus? How many's going to come cry out to the Lord? Who's going to join? Don't you dare hinder him. Encourage him. But I don't mean for yourself. You want your cries to join his cry. "Have mercy on me, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you to stand still." Oh. That's the very point. You can't help yourself. That's the very point. You can't see a way out of it. That's the very point. You're at the end of your strength, the end of your ability. Oh, but Jesus will stand still. I want you to come in faith. And by the way, if something's hindering you, leave it in the pew. I'm talking about physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. If it's bothering you, cast it aside. Cast it aside. Call on him. Call on him. Call on, call on, call on him. Call on him. Call on him. Oh, call on him this morning. Call on him this morning.
Bye. though sometimes weak, I still believe. My life is built on this desire, through the flood and through the fire. Through the flood.